This is Discovery with a K.
Hey everyone!
Hi!
We're back with a new episode of Discovery
with a K.
I'm Kathleen.
My name is Ilse.
And today, Ilse is going to take over because this is the intro to Korean indie music.
In the wise words of Tiffany Young, can I be your teacher?
Yeah. So indie music is Ilse's apartment because she does love some indie music in general.
Mm-hmm.
From any country, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to find an indie musician,
I'm in the right place.
Yeah. Like, she will, like, go and dig.
Like research, and that applies to everything in my life, including music.
Yeah, but sometimes I was like, how did you find that? That video has like 3 views. And she was like, it's so good. And I was like, fair enough.
Sometimes the algorithms like me and they give me lots of good content. So,
sure.
Yeah.
So let's just start this because she has a lot to say.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a discussion about what is K-indie or indie in general.
Yes.
What does K-indie give us that mainstream music doesn't?
Yes.
And then we're also going to go a little bit per genre and give some recommendations and take a look at the OGs as well. So we don't just give out new artists. I need to say a very special thank you because the people from the K-indie Reddit helped me a lot. So basically in Reddit, I'm one of the moderators of the K-indie subreddit. Like there's a K-pop Reddit.
Yeah,
K-hip-hop Reddit.
Yeah, there's a few.
I posed all the questions that we're going to talk about today and they helped me out a lot. So go check out that post on the K-indie subreddit. Go join us as well. Because we share lots of new content, new videos,
music,
general discussions, old gems, everything.
Yeah.
So, big thank you to the peeps there. Let's talk a little bit about how I started with BTS, DNA, K-pop, to where I eventually landed in like this realm of less than 100 Spotify listeners a month, you know?
Or sometimes zero. This happens.
It makes me so sad. Especially when they're really good.
Yeah.
I'm like, people, listen to this person. Anyways, okay. That's my job with the K-Meal, so.
Yeah, she's an official indie music person. You know? You have any questions?
I'm going to put that on my LinkedIn.
Yeah. Any queries about indie music, as is it.
So basically how I started listening or diving into K-indie is even before I was listening to K-pop, I was very much into the English indie, indie rock. I remember watching the Burberry acoustic sessions religiously.
Yes.
Like artists like Jake Bugg, The Staves, Keaton Henson, they all performed there and that's how I discovered more of their music as well. And so I was always into the more offbeat, less known music. So it kind of was a natural transition to go from like K-pop to K-indie as well.
Yeah.
Because I was like, let's not listen to something that is like EDM based. Give me some guitar. Give me some drums, you know?
Yeah.
So kind of a natural transition with like artists like Sunwoo Jung, Samuel So, Cold, Sala Jang, Choi Gun, Crush, and Cacophony. React to Decay helped with that as well.
Okay.
Because sometimes they do like lesser known artists and I was like, that's interesting. And then once you use the Spotify algorithm, YouTube algorithm,
There's also an accurate playlist called K-Indie, so it's there. The thing is that there is a mainstream K-Indie. I suppose we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
So let's continue then.
So let's talk about what is even indie.
Yeah.
It's such a hard term to put like a dictionary explanation to.
Do you want to know how I see it?
Yes, give it to me.
So for me, indie music is more independent artists, as the name suggests.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they mostly are like not really well known with sometimes no budget at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just musicians that want to create music for the sake of creating music because that's what they love doing. So you ended up seeing these like actually trained musicians that know how to play instruments, some like amazing singers, playing or creating these music albums, whatever, and being just independent on their own sometimes, or in very, very small agencies.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's one definition to put to it. Independent as in small agencies working for their own.
Or solo as well.
Solo as well.
Yeah.
Usually they'll work with a distribution channel.
Yeah.
To share like music videos because they already have like a big audience or big following. And it kind of helps to with get clicks basically. Yeah.
There's also some that would just do it on their YouTube channel too. I think like to get less costs related to it.
Yes, because I mean you're gonna have to pay for distribution.
Yes, yes. But sometimes it's like they are like, for instance, I am in charge of the hip hop side, and indie hip hop sometimes it's like, wow, some videos are like
Wild Wild West.
Oh, it's a ride, people. Okay, let's continue.
So the second interpretation can mean that it's just indie for being small, unknown, less than 100 monthly listeners on Spotify. Mm-hmm. They can be with a bigger agency and still not have like this lot of traction, lots of followers, right? It can also stand for the fact that they're like super involved in the creative process.
Okay.
Where they write, compose, and produce everything themselves with like minimal help from outside. But then you have big names who do that as well, and you wouldn't call them indie.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's, I feel like it's a bit more than all of those separately.
Okay.
Because you can have a rock band under a big name and still be called indie rock. Like, for example, Nell. They're a rock band.
Yes.
Not under the biggest agency, but they write all their own music. They have a very big following, but I would still consider them indie rock because alternative rock and indie rock sort of have melted together.
Okay.
So rather than all those things individually, I would see it more as a spectrum.
Okay, not complicated.
Where you have unknown, small agency.
Yeah.
And then you sort of like, you know, where does it fall on the spectrum? And it's sometimes is a very personal interpretation as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you can have, say, for example, Sunu Jung-a. She is huge. Like, she's very big in Korea.
Yeah.
Internationally, very less so.
Yeah.
But she writes most of her own music. She's very involved in, like, the entire creative process. Yeah. I would still consider her indie rather than mainstream.
Yes. Yeah, but there is like different type of indie, I believe. It's like well-known indie, and this is because of the type of music they play, alternative music. No,
that's because it's a spectrum.
And then you have indie, like very low following, a few people know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them transition from low-budget indie to well-known indie. Example, Hugo. Mm-hmm. I'm still calling him Hugo, by the way.
Yeah, that pronunciation, I'm sorry, it's just gonna stick.
Yeah, I know it's incorrect, but give me a break, please. So yeah, it's like they were very indie, and I found out about this band when they were indie, like indie, and then they blew up and they became huge internationally, even going to concerts and having like tours in Europe.
We were so close to going to a concert in London.
Yeah. And it was,
and then Miss Rona showed up.
Yeah. So it's like, you see the transition, and I think a lot of that happens with a lot of musicians, that you will consider indie, but they're mainstream indie.
Yeah, that makes sense. Think of Sesoneon as well.
Sesoneon, amazing, incredible band.
Love Sesoneon.
Yes.
I would still call them indie rock.
They are.
Even though they're quite well known at this point.
They're very well known, like in Korea and internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still indie, but mainstream indie.
Yeah. Let's take a look at why we listen to indie music. What do we get from it that we might not necessarily get from more mainstream music?
Okay. For me?
Yes. Give me your interpretation.
I really like instrumentals. That's it for me. I really love instrumentals. I also love mainstream music. I love my EDM, my poppy thingy. But sometimes it can get quite repetitive for me. Mm-hmm. So I do love my like little alternative things, like instrumentals, and just throw a bit of like lo-fi. Very common in indie music in general. A bit of like your violin or these lovely piano acoustics around.
Mm, yes.
So I like that about indie music. It's also very diverse. And mm-hmm. You will find a lot of things. But I have a specific genre of indie music I like. Uh-huh. So Ilse, though, she goes off and she has some very interesting indie artists she knows.
I don't listen to my Spotify playlists because
it's crazy.
It's super random.
She even created this YouTube playlist for me with like indie music and songs that you wanted me to listen. And sometimes it was insane. It was like, you had this woman with a cacophony. Amazing vocals, okay? And then you had this group coming, also in the group. Which are like, what is happening? They're not even correlated. You know?
Yeah. I feel like those playlists are a good representation of my brain. Because it can go from 0 to 100 to like minus 1,000.
Yeah.
There is no in between.
Okay. Well, what makes it for you, though?
For me, personally, I very much like the experimentational aspect of it.
Okay.
Because sometimes if I've heard, like, too much pop, like you said, sometimes it can get a bit repetitive, right? Even if you listen to the amount of artists that we do on a regular basis, sometimes I feel like I need an experimental album to, like, cleanse my palate.
Experiment album to cleanse your palate.
Yeah, give me something completely random. Like, I like to listen to like experimental jazz albums.
Yes,
which surprisingly, there's actually quite a few Korean jazz artists.
But it doesn't get repetitive in K-indie though.
Oh, it totally can.
Yeah,
the amount of ballads.
Oh, ballads! That ballads are sound very common. Yeah,
almost the exact same. Not saying that, you know, ballads are all the same, but the musical pattern.
Yeah, but I think that for us is because we do weekly reports of all the releases. You are on week 80, probably. Like some...
Yeah.
So
I've been doing weekly indie reports for...
like a year almost.
More
than a year. I just started like a few months ago. And yeah, after when you do that and you listen to music every single day and every release is every single day, you know, you notice patterns mm-hmm. in music in general.
Yeah.
Or trends. I call it this a trendy sample. There's always going to be a trendy sample somewhere mm-hmm. that's going to be included in at least 5 releases in 1 week.
Yeah. Right now it's the in the ballads.
Yeah, it's like this little fall sort of.
It's like a little wind chimney thingy.
Yeah. And it's like falling.
Oh my god.
It's almost like something you will expect to hear at a fairy tale.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as I hear it, I'm off. I'm like turned off. I'm like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Take it away.
So like right now it's not so bad, but in hip hop is the auto-tune. Sometimes it's just a pattern that stays.
I feel like auto-tune has been a problem in K-hip-hop. Well, a problem. If it's used well, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But overused, it's been a problem that's been around for years at this point.
You can... Well, it's not that bad at the minute. I've heard worse. Mm. Okay. It's not that bad at the minute. It's okay. There was a period where I was like, are you serious? Out of like 20 releases in a week, 20 will have heavy auto-tune. And it's not like they're a good rapper, so why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I call that, you know, a pattern. The favorite sample or style of the week or the month sometimes.
The thing is, I've been doing the weekly indie reports for more than 80 weeks at this point. And there's still indie that surprises me.
Yeah.
Which is why I like listening to it. Because it's ingenious sometimes the way they use the structure of the song or the way that they use pauses or just the instrumentals that are just completely crazy.
And sometimes in these albums, the music, every single track is like completely different, but they mesh together so well. It's like...
Mm-hmm. There's a narrative.
Yes, like an organic one. And you're like, that's beautiful.
That's why we listen to albums as the creator intended, God. Instead of listening to it on shuffle.
She has something against me because I tend to listen to everything in shuffle. So I that's on me, people. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
I think in regards to, so indie is a bit very big name. We covered that, right? There are subgenres in indie as well.
Yeah.
You have indie rock, indie folk, indie electronic, everything.
Yeah.
So it also just gives that variety that like the top 10 popular songs sometimes doesn't give me.
Yeah.
So if I want to listen to a 5-minute electronic instrumental piece, I can listen to Okche or Gyeom and it's fine. If I want to go to an opera piece, I can go to listen to La Poème. If I want a jazz album, if I want a folk album, there are so many options. And that's, I like that so much.
She does like that. I'm a bit more generic with indie.
Yeah, my Spotify has no chill at this moment, so.
No, for me, indie, the indie music I like is pretty much R&B and hip-hop.
Mm, that's it. Yeah. Also, what I enjoy is that every day I can find a new artist.
Yeah.
And I like cherry-picking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As in, I can listen to one song, completely obsess over it, but then the rest of the music is like, meh, that's fine. So I just take that little cherry of a song, put it in a basket or a Spotify playlist or YouTube playlist and just obsess over that for like a week or two, you know?
Okay.
I don't need to know the entire discography of this one artist to be able to like enjoy that one song.
Okay.
You know, the cherry picking is something that I really enjoy because then you get to have these like crazy playlists built on moods and whatnot to, you know, completely go off.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, that's how you see it. I like more organization. But yeah.
No, with music, it can be anything.
I
everything's
like,
fair play.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, I like more, like, moods, you know? It's like, I have, like, a few playlists and they're all based on a mood.
Mm. Right now, I have two playlists that I've been filling. And one of them is just grooves. It can be any kind of groove. Any language groove,
yeah.
As long as there's a bit of groove to it, I'll put it in there. And then the other one is Hidden Finds, which something that's not super popular that I like a lot. But also, it's not just one category.
Okay.
It's a bit, it can go from pop to electronic to jazz to folk.
Some albums are like that, though. Like, a lot of it, like, what was the last one I was obsessed with? Dom probably was the last one that is like, now he's like mainstream indie, but he started as an indie, R&B indie.
Yeah.
Now it's like mainstream indie, but his albums are so
mainstream
cool.
R&B more.
Mainstream R&B. Yes, but he was also quite indie.
Yeah, but more like he's always been R&B.
Yes, yes.
But before he was a known small artist R&B, and now he's more mainstream R&B.
Wouldn't you consider him indie?
Not necessarily.
No. That's an interesting point of view. I consider him quite indie.
Like, I wouldn't call him indie now. Maybe up until his last 2 or 3 releases, yes. But indie only because he was unknown to the mainstream audience.
Okay.
Now, he's had collabs with, like, a few big names.
Well-known names, yeah.
So,
now
he's picking up traction with general audiences.
So you will consider him now, like, an R&B artist.
Yeah.
Interesting point of view. Okay. Fair enough. I can see it.
He's still spectrum. Okay. He still qualifies because he does most of it himself.
Yeah.
Like writing, composition, yes. Arranging, all of that. But I wouldn't personally call him indie anymore.
Okay. Do you think that a lot of artists that started indie will use transition into that, because if that's the case, Cecil Neon, I would just consider them a band, you know?
Yeah, but their genre is indie rock.
Is that their genre?
It feels like it for me.
For me, it's like lo-fi rock, though. The thing with music is that it's open to interpretation.
Very much so.
So we always have different points of view because we see these artists differently. Mm-hmm. So that's fair. Let's continue, because you're gonna get philosophic here.
Yeah, let's not. We don't have time for that. Let's talk subgenres and a bit of recommendations.
Okay.
So I have a couple of subgenres that I wanted to talk about. Some just like some artists that you can't really put in a genre because they experiment like crazy. So I'll give a couple of names like that as well.
Okay.
So I've divided it in three.
Okay.
Three categories. So the biggest ones, like the mainstream indie, like you mentioned. Then we're going to the OGs.
Okay.
Like the original starters of the subgenre that are still mostly active to this day.
Okay.
And then some groups to look out for, because I think they're probably going to get mainstream success already, or they just started getting it.
Okay.
So I'll link all these artists in the description box below, because I don't think we have time to recommend songs from each of these, because I'm like gonna name quite a few. So I'm just gonna throw them out there, and then I'll link all their Spotify pages in the description box. So for indie rock, which is probably the most popular genre or subgenre of indie in general.
Okay.
So we have, with the most popular ones, being Jaurim, Seso Neon, Janabi, Hyoko, The Black Skirts, RR. And then the OGs are Crying Not, No Brain, Sisters Barbershop, Peter Pan Complex, Nell, Sultan of the Disco, and Gukasten.
Okay.
For some of these, I've already written an indie pick review. So go check out the K-mail if you want to read more. You
know? Yes, they're there.
And then for indie rock, some groups to look out for are Searle, The Volunteers, with Yerim Bek.
Yes, it's just a vocalist.
I just love her. Jack and Kong, 1 over N, The Solutions, and Samui.
Okay.
Especially Samui, because his music is so good. Also, 1 over N, we've interviewed, so if you want to go read that, you know, check the kmail.com. For punk, I got some recommendations by a Reddit user, because I usually don't really listen to a lot of punk.
No, I think you like it, yeah.
Sometimes it's a bit too guitar heavy for my liking.
Okay.
But I cherry picked a couple that seemed interesting to dive into.
Okay.
And we're trying to keep it a bit fair, so there's a lot of female recommendations in here as well. Because a lot of indie is can be quite male heavy.
Okay.
So with groups to look out for are Dead Chant, Smoking Goose, Fishing Girls, and Rum Kicks. And then for OG, I wanted to recommend Galaxy Express. They've been around for a while.
Okay.
Let's go to indie folk, which is
her favorite.
My favorite, because I like soft music. Okay.
She does also her favorite genre in general. Any indie folk, she's gonna be in.
Yes, it doesn't matter which language. Just give it to me.
It's gonna be in.
I like soft, just soft.
Yes.
So for the biggest ones or the biggest names, we have From, Meaningful Stone, Chukje, 92914, and Kim Sawol.
Okay.
And then the OGs are Kim Il-do, Jang Pil-sun, Dulge Kwa, Lee Juk, Lee Sang-soon. And then groups to look out for are Budung, Kim Ari, Lee Hee-sang, Chinny Bird, Tan, Park Ki-hoon, and Shin Hye-kyung.
Yep.
There's some gems in there.
Lee Hee-sang's latest album is incredible. I'm not really into indie folk, but that was so good.
If that album doesn't show up in my most played songs of 2021, I don't know what is up with Spotify. I've been playing that to death.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's
it's really, really good.
It's like a little bit jazzy, a little bit folky, a little bit of like, it just has soul to it.
Yes. It's, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, this album is like, it's hard to explain.
There's life to it.
It's like, it gives you feelings. It gives you like, emotional load with it, with every single song. It's like beautiful. Also, it gives you like, some songs are like chill, relax the zone, and the other ones are like just, it's full of emotions. It's lovely.
Also, there's a feature by Sun with Jung now, so I'm always in for that. Let's go to electronic. These are just some random recommendations because it's kind of hard to find like the OGs for that one for some reason. So here's just a couple to look out for, to listen to, to discover. Rainbow 99, Kinky Scope, Glowing Dog, On the Doll, Gond, which we've also interviewed, Sumin, Asol, Anda, Kasker, and Crystal T.
Okay.
Lots of good music. Oh my god. And then in general, I wanted to give like special shout outs to Cacophony, Ashmut, The Blank Shop, that album, his last album that he released, Piano Insanity. Then we have Kim Oki, if you're into jazz, Anya Un, Artichoke, and Choi Gun, just because vocals are insane and like a really interesting texture that you don't hear every day.
Okay. Now,
I know that I've given a lot of recommendations, right?
Yes.
But if you want to get into discovering artists yourself without my help, then here's a couple of steps that you can take to dig a little deeper, right? So you check out distributors on YouTube like Poklanos, Mirable Music, Stone Music Entertainment, Purple Pine Entertainment, Supersound Bugs. There's a whole bunch, like Vlending has indie artists as well. Start following them, and then once you get like the announcement that they released something, check it out, start building YouTube playlists, and then transfer that into your Spotify playlists. So make those playlists on YouTube and Spotify. And then on Spotify, if you have an indie artist that you like, go to the section recommendations, like same genre-wise.
That one's really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dig into that and you're going to end up in rabbit holes that you would have never ended up in otherwise. Also check out the Korean Music Awards with nominees and winners, because they have like rock sections, indie sections, you know.
Depends on the award though. It depends on the award.
Yeah. Well, you have to look at the right categories to discover your
But mostly
like new artists.
Yeah, but that will be more Korean awards, because if you have like the MAM Awards, which is like Asian but it's actually just K-pop, you see that.
Yeah, but the Korean Music Awards are overarching. It's not just K-pop.
Oh no, it's like everything.
Like I think last year Lee Nalchi won, which is like a very interesting mix between rock, trot, Korean traditional, experimental mix.
Yeah, that's how he discovered Janabi actually.
Mm-hmm.
Through the I think it was the Melon Awards, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I think last year
I think it was 2 years ago.
I think he had a concert. Or, like, he performed one of his songs because it blew up, like, insane.
Yeah, okay.
And then the last recommendation is check out our indie section on thekmail.com.
Yeah, you're going to find a lot. Like, there's bands-related articles. All the weekly reports that are going to be there.
The monthly discovery. Indie pick. There's lots of indie content.
Yeah, there is something about indie in general that sometimes, because everyone's so focused on pop.
Top 10, streaming.
Not even that. It's that you see these small even K-pop groups that they start to like gain
traction.
Yes. But then you see these indie artists that have been there like for years and they still haven't quite taken off.
Mm.
But it's because of the how small. I feel like sometimes the genre is overlooked.
Yeah. But I also, I think in general, what K-indie artists could use is, well, a bigger budget, obviously. But even if you don't have that, just make a music video. It can be the most randomest thing of you sitting in a field, and that's just it for 3 minutes. It can be just you walking in town, you know, lo-fi with like rainy nights, you know, you have all the car lights that are shimmery.
Yeah.
It's just, if you give something visual to accompany the music, I think that helps so much.
I can say that, for recommendations, YouTube algorithm, all of that. Mm-hmm. I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. So I think make it visual, yes. Create a little music video, and then team up with a distributing channel. It gets you a lot of views as well, because it's very hard to break out in such a huge industry where artists are debuting like every day, pretty much.
Every day.
So every day. Find your niche, create content visually on social media to relate to your fans, to give them that something extra that they can't find anywhere else.
You will find maybe another Ilse that, you know, wants something different.
If you're an indie artist and you want to like have an interview, hit me up on Instagram or something. It's always welcome.
Well, yeah, that was it for this episode of Indra 2K Indie.
Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you very much for listening. And if you're one of the Redditors, thank you very much for answering and helping out with forming this quite lengthy intro to K Indie.
Yes. Remember to follow us in thekmail.com and just check our socials, TikTok. We post everything there. We also have a lot of music video recommendations that are indie in our TikTok.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's plenty of
content.
So just check us out and we will see you next time with a new episode of Discovery with a K. Bye-bye.
Bye.